Joining me is Chris Burton, Vice President of Rail Future East Anglia. Chris, good to have you on.
And you, thank you very much.
Not really surprising, is it?
Well, no, I mean, actually, you talk about it, it's an annual event. You're absolutely right. It actually happens twice a year now, and then next July, there'll be warning us in the middle, next August, in the middle of August, they'll be warning us what the rate will be for the coming January. You can't escape it.
Because this is based, this rise is based on the, is it the Consumer Prices Index in August?
No, it's the retail price.
It's retail price, which is higher, isn't it?
That's right. But I think actually that is a red herring. I think what we need to know is that what is raised by tax, well, we don't know that for sure, but what is raised in fares is actually spent on the railway. And in recent years, there's been roughly parity between the money raised in fares and the proportion of the tax that is spent as well is spent on the railway. And there's a rough parity there. But the moment we find that the fares are not coming down, but the amount of money being spent on the railway is coming down, then we shall have every right to be very suspicious, because that will be the sign that Treasury is using fare rises as a tax.
Right, but we haven't got to that stage at the moment.
No, not as far as I know. I mean, it's not hypothecated to use that ghastly word, which means that money raised by tax has to be spent on this particular thing. I think I'm right in saying that. Of course, I'll be very quick off the mark if I'm wrong.
Right, and Chris,
general treasury income.
Are commuters getting value for money? Are the travellers getting value for money? Are things improving?
Well, they certainly weren't in certain parts of the country from the new timetable. I think East Anglia, apart from Cambridge and Penzlin and Ely, got off rather badly, but generally they got off very well. But there's still lots of work that needs to be done. The great problem is not just spending the money, finding the time and the gaps in schedules to actually do the work that needs to be done, particularly for maintenance.
Well, we've suffered around here, obviously, because you talk to people about trying to get up to London from Essex during the weekends. We have had gaps in the thing,
yeah.
But I mean, it's, you know, I don't want to spend 2 hours sitting on a bus. It's a nonsense.
No, I entirely agree with you. I mean, I always find if I'm going to London on Sundays in the autumn or midwinter, the first thing I check is when is the engineering, and I make sure I don't go then.
But I suppose you could argue that they've got to do it sometime.
Exactly, and that's what I'm saying, that is the great problem Network Rail have. They can't win on this. It's either being modernised and you're greatly inconvenienced, or nothing is happening, the whole thing's going down the pan and no more breakdowns and delays from that. So there's a no-win situation there. The work has to be done, and that's maintenance. That's before we get to the big capital expenditure, of which there's quite a bit going on at the moment, Crossrail. Not quite come to fruition yet when it should have done, but I'm sure when it does, it'll prove to be pretty good. I'm sorry if I sound like an apologist for the railway industry, but it really will be.
No, you tell it like you believe it. Now, look, The railway companies put the fares up. Does that all go to the railway companies, or are the railway companies then having to pass some to Network Rail? I mean, how does it work?
What happens is that there is a timetable. That's number one. In that timetable, X number of trains run at a set speed and a set load, and they pay what they call track access charges. And that includes all the money that has to go to Network Rail to do the work they have to do. And the government adds money to that because it never completely fulfills the cost of that work. That's what Network Rail always striving and often failing to do, is get the cost of doing the work down and still be top level.
Right, and the rest of the money.
That's what happens.
Right, the rest of the money stays with the railway company, so that's their profit.
Some of it does. There are special agreements there that usually give them a return of somewhere around about 4 or 5%. It depends on what's happening. Sometimes, like the Thames Link thing, which we won't talk too much because it's not your area anyway. All the fare money went straight to the Treasury Department of Transport, and they just pay them a management fee. But most franchises are not like that. Greater Anglia is not like that. But as you've probably seen in your own news recently, Greater Anglia looking for a more moderated agreement, which they haven't been given yet.
Right. And the rail companies, I'm assuming, have to put their fares up. I mean, I know they don't have to, but they will do, won't they? Because if they're given permission to do so, they're hardly likely to say, no, I don't think so.
Well, the fares that get put up are usually the commuter ones because they're the most expensive ones to provide. You only have to look at sidings along your line from Essex into London, and particularly the outskirts of London, in midday to see how many trains are sitting in sidings. But you go past there at 6 o'clock, virtually nothing is there. And that's the disparity between off-peak demand and peak demand.
So the,
the sort of things that have to be paid for, because all those coaches are on lease.
Okay, and so they're sitting around not earning any money for most of the day.
Exactly.
So you have to make your money when you can. Make hay while the sun shines, as the old expression
goes. Absolutely, now, get the bottoms on the seat.
Indeed. The average of 3.1%. For people who travel sporadically, maybe they go up to town a couple of times a year or something, will they notice much difference in the fares, or will they try and keep those off-peak fares down and just hit the commuters?
Some of those fares they can keep down. The notion that all fares just go up per se is not true. Some are variable. Some are infinitely marketable entirely on demand. And if there's low demand and they want to increase it, then they drop the fare or they keep it where it is because it eventually looks a lot lower than it has been. It's to do with marketing. But some things are associated with the cost of provision of service, as I just said, with carriages and so on.
Yeah.
And also with modernising stations. That's part of coping with commuters. A very important part, because they go into big cities, not just London. You know, we get loads coming into where I'm speaking from in Cambridge. I know it happens in Colchester and Norwich, but it's for a short period of every day.
Chris, now we've been hearing, haven't we, for years about underinvestment in our railways. We're catching up. I mean, I have spoken to so many railway executives and so on over the years. We're catching up for 30 years of underinvestment, blah, blah, blah. We've heard it all before. Are we, do you think, compared with our European counterparts, getting value for money for the amount we're paying to take a train?
Ooh. I would think not, actually, but I would need more figures to substantiate it. My basic feeling is we're not. But I think the great difficulty is that the demand that in 1990, for example, was seen as diminishing and the railway was being managed in decline, and out of which came privatisation in 1994, has completely reversed. Everything has grown exponentially on a railway that was fundamentally utterly unsuited to carry that amount of traffic. So if you actually look back, anyone who's remotely interested, the railway has come a long, long way since then. Still got a good way to go. It's come a long, long way since then. That should not be forgotten.
All right, Chris, good to speak to you. Thank you very much indeed. Chris Burton there, the Vice President of the Rail Future East Anglia. Sorry about the quality of the line. It was a bit dodgy in places there, wasn't it?